Mighty Oregon Magazine is out at a newsstand near you. Picture of Lexi Bando dropping a tray. Tyler Dorsey's big shot, both getting our respective basketball teams in the Sweet 16. We welcome in Jerry Thompson. JT, a good Wednesday to you, sir. How's it going?
It's going really good, Steve. Can't get much sweeter than this, unintended.
I see what you did there. We've spoken before. The fact that you followed all Oregon programs for a long, long time. You know, you've seen a lot of the greats, a lot of the moments. When I speak to especially people back east, I try to explain to them where Oregon basketball is now, that, you know, they had never been to back-to-back-to-back tournaments. Then they got in three times. They had never won a tournament game twice in a row. Basically, Coach Altman is checking off everything, and all that's left now is a trip to the Final Four. But like you, it's written here, it's amazing the types of accomplishments we're seeing that are really unprecedented.
Yes, and for the readers, Mallard Musings by Steve, his great article telling not only about the great victory over Rhode Island, but just the perspective on the history and where the Ducks have come. And then on page 3 of the magazine is a list of the milestones of the Ducks. And just too many,
it's too many
sites that they've broken this year. Just every single record you'd almost think of has been broken. So it's one of the reasons to do the magazine. It's good to look back and see all these accomplishments. And got a great photo of Dylan Brooks dunking, slamming against the Beavers. I wanted to put that one in. I would enjoy that. Anyway, we're in pretty new territory, even though, you know, we didn't win the Pac-12 tournament, and, you know, we haven't gone to the Elite Eight yet. We've been there a few times, but I think it's all gravy now. I mean, this is a team without Boucher, and it's a tough road ahead, but you never know. The stars align again. We could go to the Final Four.
It could happen. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this tournament, there's no 2009 North Carolina or 2012 Kentucky where it looks like, well, they're just the best team. So you were down in Sacramento. In particular, the last game against Rhode Island, kind of the pulse as somebody viewing things through the lens of an Oregon fan. I mean, was there a moment like, man, this is really it, to the euphoria of that final sequence?
Well, before the euphoria, there's a lot of agony. And about eight or 9 minutes into the second half, and we hadn't even gained a point on the Rams, and I thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Till Brooks hit a three, then he hit that, he got fouled, hit three shots.
Huge.
Dorsey misses his free throws, but he hits two big threes, of course, the last one to win it. But no, it's one of the, I mean, I was there while I was on the floor, didn't seem that far from Dorsey, and I'm thinking, oh no, you're going to shoot it now? And oh yeah, great. But I've got a photo of Dylan Ennis with Jerry Allen after trying to do an interview, but he couldn't do the interview because he was just crying uncontrollably. I think it was tears of joy.
Oh yeah,
he was just. It was. That's what you're referring to—the euphoria, but the emotion and just the whole atmosphere of all the teams that come down. There's one and done, and even Iona. We pretty well, run them off the court in the first half, but they had a little bit of life in the second. But I'm going, in the back behind the arena. Are indoors, but still behind the arena, and there's these Iona guys crying too. I mean, this is some of them their last game in college.
Right.
So it's a very great atmosphere. It's too bad somebody has to lose, but sometimes the best, most euphoria happens when you got the biggest hole to dig out of, and the Ducks certainly did that.
Now, you had a piece with Carl Berman, who, in essence, he's a basketball scout, and he talked about the trio who some think will at least dip their toe into the water and ponder the NBA. He talked, let's go guy by guy, Dylan Brooks. How does he evaluate him, and does he think he's going to leave?
Well, he says quite a bit about him, but his main thing is, quote unquote, I think this year he's kind of a marginal first round draft pick.
Right.
And if he's marginal, the camp, the pre-draft camp, is going to be big. You know, it's kind of beauty in the eye of the beholder, the scouts. If they like him a lot and he's a first-round pick, I'm sure he'll leave. It's kind of like a Royce Freeman thing. It's almost like a sure. I thought sure he's going to leave, but
yeah.
Then who knows? You know, if he came back and Bell and Dorsey, with all the guys coming in and coming back, that would be fantastic. But I think Dillon Brooks would go. I mean, what can he do for an encore except for go to the Final Four if we don't make it this year? And then Jordan Bell, he said, you know, he's a guy, his quote basically was that some of the pros said if you can do one good thing, they'll take you. If you can do something really good, and Bell can do too. He can rebound and shot block. So I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves either. Although, you know, I think he's the most important guy to come back for the Ducks next year because of the height. You know, he's got the experience underneath. We don't have hardly any experience on the front line. We got a lot of talent, but not a lot of experience. And then Dorsey, I sit next to Carl at the games at Met Knight Arena, the scout, and he no offense to Tyler, but about a month and a half ago, he wasn't even on the radar, you know, even to be a second-round pick or anything, because he just wasn't, he was just up and down.
Too consistent. Inconsistent, yeah, absolutely.
But he's been driving the hoop, he's been shooting the threes really well, he's really picked up his defense this year, so, again, it's a pre-draft camp. They could all three come back or they could all go. It's really going to be interesting how the scouts see him. So no definitive answer.
No, and like I've said, I would bet Brooks is gone. I would have to flip a coin on Bell, and I'd be surprised if Dorsey doesn't come back. We'll see.
Right. Yeah, I kind of think they're all going to leave, but I think Dorsey should come back is my humble opinion, because I think he could really benefit from one more year, but
We'll see. First things first, start with Michigan. Before we get to the women, an interesting piece about some training that's going on, working on the ability of the women to, what was it, jump?
Yeah, to literally leap higher. Now, I don't know if Kelly Graves knows about this yet, head coach, but I said I'm going to talk to the strength and conditioning coach, because in warm-ups, I see Ruthie grab the rim, Ruthie Hebert. And I'm thinking, well, if you can grab the rim with a little bit extra oomph, a little bit of extra vertical, she could be throwing it down. And not too many women do, in fact, hardly any women that I've seen in college basketball. And it was interesting that Matt Chandler, he's just been here since August, but he kind of bought into what I was talking about. And you think there's three players on the team that next year might be dunking for the Ducks. And I said, well, you know, the pressure's all on you, Matt. Because I don't think this is going to be slam-a-jamma. But there's a lot of height at Oregon. Lydia Giami, she's come off that thumb injury. She's 6'6", and pretty thin. And Ruthie can jump. And Lauren Yearwood's another he mentioned who has the strength to elevate, get over the rim. So that's just a little sidelight on the women's great season, but it would be pretty amazing if two or three of them could have that ability and to do that.
No, it's like you said, they're looking to literally leap higher next season. Let's wrap with the Oregon women. This group is just so fun, so entertaining. And like I said, you're very well aware of the history of this program. First ever Sweet 16 with this coach and this group of young people, not to mention Lexi and Maite coming back. I mean, how comfortable are you saying, yeah, it's their first Sweet 16, I don't think it's their last?
Well, I feel very comfortable because of an article I did on the two international signees.
Yep.
That Kelly Graves has said, Kelly Graves, not my words, that are two of the best players in the world at their age. I may not pronounce their names right, but Aina Ayusu and Satu Sabali. Anyway, they're quick. And that's one of the things the Ducks have lacked a little bit to go. I'm not saying we don't know how far they're going to go yet, but to get to another level consistently and start competing and beating Stanford and UCLA and Oregon State, I think, the sky's the limit with the recruits they're getting. These two recruits coming in next year, they're going to add that dimension of speed and experience that the Ducks need with all the others coming back. Yeah, it's it's the best days are ahead. They're already here, and they're going to be even better.
No, it's amazing. And it didn't take very long. All right, before we cut you loose, as always, it's a pretty special edition with, you know, it's a celebratory edition in a lot of ways, not to mention the 27-0 softball team, baseball off to a great start. Some notes about football. Where can folks pick up the new Mighty Oregon magazine?
It's free of charge at your buy marts and the local dairy marts and the duck stores.
All right. Awesome stuff, JT. A pleasure as always. Enjoy. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks a lot. And let's beat those
Wolves. Wolverines.
Michigan and Maryland.
Terrapins.
Yeah, Wolverines and the Terps, yeah.
Yeah. Go big Pac-12 versus P-12. Have a good one, Jay. Jerry. Jay? Who's Jay? What am I doing?